This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we'll visit with Doug Wilkinson, field coordinator with the Louisiana Healthcare Education Coalition, a community-oriented organization that is dedicated to helping groups and individuals understand the new way to purchase health insurance through the Affordable Care Act. And, of course, October 1 started the era of Obamacare. We'll also talk with Valerie Plame, the former covert CIA operative, who made big news when she was outed by some members of the Bush administration. She is back in a big way as a novelist. Her debut novel is called Blowback, and the lead character is named Vanessa Pearson, VP, Valerie Plame. All this, but now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your local number. Outside the area, please call 877-217-5757. And you may reach us by email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. We start with Doug Wilkinson, field coordinator with the Louisiana Healthcare Education Coalition. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Jim.
Nice to see you, and this has been a big week for the Affordable Care Act rolling out, despite the objections of some people on Capitol Hill, at least a few. And it's a brave new world. We're 3 days into it. How's it going?
Well, there have been quite a few glitches from what we understand in trying to get into the actual website itself. One of the big comments was that you could get to the profile section, but you couldn't get past that, which is in getting into the shopping section of it. But that hasn't really happened. Don't know if those have been resolved or not. First day jitters. It was always said that this was going to happen no matter what, you know, that they were going to open the marketplace. It was going to open, whether it was blowing black smoke and sputtering and on three tires, but it was going to open, and that's what it's done.
Well, it's been a less than perfect opening. Nationwide, these glitches, have they been cleaned up largely in the last few days, or do we still have some?
Well, we don't know yet. I mean, we think we still have some, but, you know, I guess the big thing to remember is that it's a six-month enrollment period. You know, October 1st was the day it opened, but it doesn't close till March 31st of 2014. So we've got a lot of time. There's still a lot of stuff to go on, so we're in good shape.
What are some of the major questions people are having?
I think that probably one of the biggest questions is, do I have to enroll? Do I have to get insurance? And yes, you do. Unless you are on Medicare, Medicaid, if your employer provides you what they call credible coverage, you have to get health care. You have to sign up.
And the options are there.
Oh, yeah. There's quite a few. I want to say that there's 50-something health plans on the marketplace itself, maybe even more than that. There are four companies that are offering products on the health on the marketplace. There's Humana, which is offering in predominantly Jefferson Parish. There is the Louisiana Healthcare Connection, which is statewide. There's Blue Cross Blue Shield of Louisiana, which is statewide, and then there's Vantage, which is statewide. So, I mean, well, I think they have a limited network, but I think they are considered statewide. But by and large, there are lots of options out there, and that's why one of the other things that you might want to do is consider getting an insurance agent.
297-5633 is your number. Doug Wilkinson is with the Louisiana Healthcare Education Coalition. And how did your group spring up?
We were founded back in March. We were founded by Blue Cross Blue Shield. It was pretty much an answer to what do we do? There was a poll by the Kaiser Family Foundation, that said that 67% of the American people had no idea what the Affordable Care Act was about. Louisiana had opted out of participating in anything on its own. It was going to make it, you know, the federal government come in and do, you know, provide mm-hmm. the marketplace and this sort of stuff. So there was a void of information, and so they took the approach that let's start this educational group. We'll get other people involved and see where it goes from there. And that's exactly what's happened. We now have 175 members, and we've been all over the state.
297-5633 is your number. Now, many uninsured Louisianians, especially healthy young adults, are facing a choice to either pay for the policies or pay a penalty. Is that spelled out when you go to the website, or do you just try to convince people if they're going to be in a situation where they're getting a policy that they get the best one that is for them personally and their families, that sort of thing?
It's pretty spelled out. You pay a fine if you do in your 2013 taxes. When you file your taxes, you have to tell them whether or not you had an insurance policy, who it's with, and that sort of stuff. If you do not, then you will pay a fine. The IRS will levy a fine against you. It's 1% of your income or $95 for the first year, but then it goes up every year after that.
Yeah, I'm looking. Second year, 2015, it's $325 per adult and $162.50 per child and 2% of family income, whichever is greater. And then year three and beyond, 2016, it's $695 or 2.5% of family income. So most people, I would think, would opt to get a policy.
Well, it's good for you. You know, there are all kinds of statistics out there that show that people that have health insurance have a better quality of life. You take care of yourself better. You go get your preventative services. You get flu shots. It's just overall, it's better for you if you have health insurance.
297-5633, Kevin Gallagher producing, and our guest for a bit longer is Doug Wilkinson, field coordinator with the Louisiana Healthcare Education Coalition. For the last 15 years, he's assisted groups with community-based relationship marketing endeavors. And this is a marketing endeavor if there ever was one. Now, you mentioned that the group was founded by Blue Cross, but my guess is that you're trying to educate people whether they choose Blue Cross or some other option.
We don't even bring that up. We don't talk about politics. We don't talk about carriers. We stay completely away from that. What we're trying to do is just explain the process. As everyone has said, and everywhere you read, it's a complicated process. And so we're trying to make sure that small businesses, large businesses, and individuals understand what's out there.
Charles in Jefferson Terrace. Charles, good morning. You're on the air with Doug Wilkinson.
Good morning, Charles.
Yes, if a person does not sign up for insurance and shows up at an emergency room or some medical facility, what happens? Do they get billed for it, or, you know, fined, or what happens to them?
Well, I would assume that it's going to take place just as it happens now, and that is if you don't have insurance and you show up at an emergency room, they take care of you and then they bill you later.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Charles. But right now it's mandatory that you have insurance, so I would imagine the long arm of the law might be involved if you don't have it. And young people tend to think they're invincible. Some of us older people think we're invincible, but we're not. So how do you encourage people to get insurance?
Well, typically through self-interest. It's in your self-interest to have health insurance. It helps you. It helps your family. You can't emphasize that enough from the standpoint that we don't know. I had lunch yesterday with a man that's 52 years old. He talked about when he was 25 and a young invincible, you know, just like what you were saying. And he had cancer when he was 26. He's now a survivor and thriving. But the point is that you do not know, and it's in your best interest. It's a responsible thing to do.
Our friend Mike Reitz was on this show last week, and he said that the reality is that some people will pay more, some will pay less, and generally, if you're older, your chances of paying less are enhanced, and if you're younger, your chances of paying more are increased. Is that basically the way it's working out based on what you've learned?
That's correct. But then the younger typically are going to have some sort of subsidy because they're in the early years of their earning power, so they're going to have less income typically. So consequently, there will be subsidies available to them. So that helps offset that increase in cost.
Now, the estimates are that a 27-year-old in our state would pay $71 a month. A family of four would pay more than $900 a month. How do the costs vary from plan to plan? Don't know?
I have no idea.
Well, the average state resident not counting the income-based tax credit, will pay $265 a month for a low bronze plan and $356 a month for a low silver plan. Now, I'm looking, a bronze plan could be purchased for much less after the tax credit. So the tax credit is something that has to be factored in. It's a substantial difference.
Yes. What they're talking about when you said it back, tax credit, it's an advanced tax credit is what they refer to it. That is the subsidy.
And the exchanges are available as of 2 days ago, Tuesday, October 1st, online at healthcare.gov. And for those who are going there, are they having more accessibility today than they did a couple of days ago, Doug?
I would think they have, because a lot of people, once you go in and you get, you know, get locked out or timed out, I think you just tend to put it off. My daughter, as an example, is not going to go on until November. The other part to remember is that when you go on today and you purchase a policy and you select one, then you have to accompany that with a check. You have to pay for it, but it doesn't go into force until January 1, 2014. So what we tend to think is that there's going to be a rush at the end, not the beginning.
297-5633, Inkstershow at WRKF.org, as we continue our discussion with Doug Wilkinson of the Louisiana Healthcare Education Coalition. I would imagine there are groups such as yours springing up all over the country.
Well, there is. I know Texas had a group very similar to ours that they were out there trying to educate the public, and they typically have sprung up in communities or in states where they are federally mandated.
Charlotte and Iberia Parish. Charlotte, good morning. You're on WRKF with Doug Wilkinson.
Hi, Charlotte.
Good morning to you. I'm to you too. I'm calling to ask whether a person who has no employer, therefore no income, or a person who has such a small income that they don't have to file an income tax form is exempt from the tax until they can generate enough income to be able to afford the health insurance policy.
Charlotte, the person you're talking about is probably eligible for Medicaid, which then would give them insurance, and they would not be subject to the tax.
Okay.
Hope that helps, Charlotte. Now, the governor, of course, refused to embrace the expansion of Medicaid that is spelled out in Obamacare. What about those caught in the middle?
The middle would be anybody below 100% of the poverty level. And not being that familiar with Medicaid and their rules, I'm not sure who that middle portion would be. But anybody that's at 100% up to 400% will receive a subsidy when they go into the marketplace to help pay for the policy. Below 100%, then Medicaid would be that their fallback. But I'm not sure at which point. Is it 98%, 90%, mm-hmm. That sort of thing.
297-5633, Janice on O'Neill. Janice, you're on the air with Doug Wilkinson. Hi, Janice.
Hi, Janice. Hi, yes. Mr. Wilkinson, that was my question exactly. For those people that would qualify for Medicaid in a state where the governor has elected to not do the Medicaid expansion, what happens to them? I hate to beat a dead horse, but that's the problem, is that we would qualify for Medicaid, but the governor has elected not to expand Medicaid.
Yes, ma'am. Well, then those are the people that are caught in the middle. That is,
they have to
that
buy
is,
a plan like everybody else,
yeah,
right?
But obviously,
there is a cost to doing that.
That is correct. Those are the people that the safety net providers are concerned about, are the ones that are below 100% and are not qualified for Medicaid. Those are the ones that are caught in the middle, and that's the safety net providers. The FQHCs, the federally qualified health centers, would be the best suggestion to go to those folks.
297-5633 is your number. Doug Wilkinson will rejoin us for a little while, field coordinator with the Louisiana Healthcare Education Coalition, and we're discussing the ramifications of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, which began 2 days ago, October 1st, 2013. We shall return in 90 seconds with Doug Wilkinson on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Kevin Gallagher producing, 297-5633, 877-217-5757. Those are your numbers. Inkster Show at WRKF.org if you'd like to reach us online. Doug Wilkinson with the Louisiana Healthcare Education Coalition is with us. Now, for those starting out, trying to get familiar with Obamacare, and they want to know more, and they want to know what your group's doing, your website is?
www.lhec.net.
And when you go to that one, you can get from the start to the finish?
Yeah, we have a section called Get Ready, and it'll explain what you're about to do. It'll give you a pretty good idea as to what you're heading into, and then there's a link that'll take you from our site straight into healthcare.gov.
That's LHEC.
Correct.
.net. Terry in Lafayette. Terry, good morning. You're on.
It's Terry. But I just want to say first, thank you to Doug Wilkinson for coming on the show, and thank you for doing the show, for giving us so much information. But once again, not to beat a dead horse, I was just wondering if you know what kind of remedy or solution there will be for those families that are a lot like mine, that the income is not too great, and there's like, and I have like two kids. If the governor still decides not to expand Medicaid, and we're not able to purchase on the exchange, what's going to happen?
Well, first of all, I'm sure your children are covered by Medicaid, I would think. The second part of that is there's not going to be an expansion of Medicaid in the foreseeable future. That they've moved past that. The state legislature, the governor has moved past that. The second part of that is what you'll be required to do at that point when you need help is to rely on what they call the safety net providers, which would be people such as the federally qualified health centers that have sliding fee scales. It would be going to, you know, in Baton Rouge, I'm not sure in Lafayette, but in Baton Rouge area, you'd go to Our Lady of the Lake, which is now taking over the quote, charity aspect of Earl K. Long. So I'm not really sure, other than those things, what you would do.
Okay, well, thank you for your answer. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Terry. 297-5633, Ed on Highland. Ed, good morning. You're on with Doug Wilkinson.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Doug.
Hello, Ed.
Glad that you were able to make it on. I know how busy you must be. I heard a report this morning, early on, that as of a national report, that as of midnight last night, the average sign-up on the exchanges was running at about 1%. The highest state was actually Kentucky at 5.4%. Many in the Northeast were around 0.5%. It was reported Louisiana had not yet had one successful enrollee on the exchange. That was as of yesterday. You may have remedied that as of today, but how do you explain that?
Well, Ed, first of all, we don't know the exact number, so I'm not sure what you're quoting, but I know that the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which is the organization that is overseeing this entire process, has refused to give out any information. That was in the wires today. They're not giving out any kind of data as to how many people have signed up. They'll give you traffic counts as to how many people actually got onto the website, but they're not going into how many of them actually signed on. We also know that Blue Cross Blue Shield had no one sign up as of yesterday. What was the first day? It was on Tuesday.
Right.
So as of the end of business on Tuesday, they had nobody sign up. Do not know what happened yesterday. So we don't know that, but we do know that they had zero. So the assumption was, I think what you're talking about, the assumption was that if Blue Cross is the largest provider in the state and they had zero, then there must be zero for everybody else. And that's, we don't know if that's really a valid assumption or not.
You do have 6 months, but it seems like there would be more than zero on day one.
You would think, but then, you know, I know that there were several secret shoppers. I know that one organization put 12 people out trying to shop on the marketplace, and they were not able to get in. But what we try to keep reminding people, this is a marathon. It is not a sprint. You have a long way to go. We have 6 months, March 31st, 2014. So we've got lots of time.
March 31st, 2014. That's not that far away. 70th birthday, by the way, of Shirley Jones. But it's a day of importance for a lot of people. I can imagine, procrastinators as we are, there'll be a lot of people scrambling around March 29th, March 30th, and even March 31st.
Yes, absolutely. People will always wait till the last.
What happens if you hit March 31st at midnight? They're going to shut you down?
No, what happens is you're out of compliance, and then you have to wait again till next year. So, I mean, it's an annual enrollment.
Not a good idea. 297-5633 is your number. Kevin says it's the 80th birthday of Shirley Jones. She looks 70. Both my husband and I, Gloria writes, have been paying for health insurance every day of our young, healthy, working youth and very rarely used it. It is being implied that the Affordable Care Act requiring that youth have insurance is some sort of anomaly. The powers that shovel in insurance money are even more fearful of this than their president. I don't know where she's going with this, but obviously it's going to be different for young people, some of whom choose not to have insurance, and now they have to have it, and maybe that's a good thing.
Well, I know that, you know, everybody's situation is different, and if you're 28 years old, making $24,000 a year, and you're single, which, you know, in my day, we got married right out of college. But, you know, what we have to assume is that everybody's going to do the thing that serves their best interest, which is if it serves their best interest to get health insurance, they're going to do it. And there's lots of ways to do it.
297-5633 is your number, and 877-217-5757 outside the area. Inkstershow@wrkf.org. Doug Wilkinson with us a bit longer. He's with the Louisiana Healthcare Education Coalition. That's what he's trying to do, is educate people about the options under Obamacare. Perry on I-10. Excuse me. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, my name is Peggy, and was traveling through the area and was listening to the show. My husband recently retired, and as of January 1, we were able to get COBRA from his prior company. And it expires June 30th of 2014. We were only able to get on it for 18 months. Should I go ahead and enroll prior to March 31st, and can I select an effective date for it?
Well, that's a question for an insurance agent. I'm just an educator here. I don't have any idea what would fit your best situation on that. I hate to be so vague on that, but you're asking very specific questions about, you know, your specific situation, and that I don't have an answer for you.
Can we select an effective date when we purchase the insurance?
Yes, ma'am. You can do that. You can do that.
Okay, because my husband's on Medicare, but my insurance runs out June 30th.
Yes, you would it would be up to you. That would be correct. You could take care of yourself that way, and your husband and your husband needs to do nothing.
Right, I knew that, but I didn't know if I needed to enroll by March 31st and then select my beginning date as July 1.
Thank you,
Peggy.
Okay, thank you.
Mary in North Baton Rouge. Good morning, Mary. You're on the air with Doug Wilkinson.
Hi. I have two questions to ask. How many health care providers are there available for this in Louisiana?
There's four. There's four carriers that have signed up for the marketplace in Louisiana. And I can give you the names if you'd like that.
Yeah, we'd like that.
Okay, it's Blue Cross Blue Shield of Louisiana, Humana, but they're Jefferson Parish only. Then there's Vantage. And then there's Louisiana Healthcare Connections.
And what is that a state thing, Louisiana?
No, ma'am. It's what they call a pilot program. It was a cooperative put together by several different providers that got together, and then the federal government lent them money, and they've created their own insurance company.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then the second question I want to ask you is, if you have Medicare and you're looking for a secondary insurance, how does that work with this?
It doesn't. If you're on Medicare, you're not eligible to purchase through the marketplace.
And if you have a pre-existing disease?
That has nothing to do. There are no pre-existing conditions. There's no underwriting as far as your health condition when you purchase under the marketplace.
Thank you, Mary. 297-5633. Doug Wilkinson with us of the Louisiana Healthcare Education Coalition. Rancy in Millerville. Hi, Rancy. You're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, hi. Thank you, Doug Wilkinson, for giving us this information. This may have been covered. I got in a little late, but I was wondering what's to happen to people who need help in negotiating their options on the exchange, but they don't have access to a computer or have the skills to use one. Thank you.
They have what they call navigators. A navigator is somebody that received a grant from the federal government to help people enroll in the marketplace. The navigators, I do not have their contact information. I can get it back to Jim if that's what he would like. But you can contact the Capital Area Agency on Aging. They are one of the navigators here in Baton Rouge.
The Capital
Area.
I do not
know the number.
Agency on Aging. 297-5633. Thank you, Rancy. 877-217-5757 outside the area. And Inkster Show, WRKF.org. Still time to get in our remaining moments with Doug Wilkinson, who is weighing the options like everybody else for the new world that we know as Obamacare. Moriba and Bro Bridge, good morning. You're on the air with Doug.
Yeah, Jim, I just want to offer a correction for something Doug just stated a minute ago. The companies that are offering the plans in the Louisiana market for the marketplace is the Louisiana Healthcare Cooperative. It's not Louisiana Healthcare Connections. Those are two different companies, and I think it's important not to confuse consumers.
Thank you.
I appreciate your call. One word can make a difference. Four options, you say, and three options for people in most of the state, right?
That's correct.
So the options are not plentiful.
They are not.
So I would imagine that Blue Cross, which already has a good portion of the state under its umbrella, will probably have a larger share of the pie after all is said and done.
I would assume so.
And obviously some companies do not want to get involved in this. There's some risk, isn't there?
Yes, there's quite a few companies that were that are licensed to do business in the state of Louisiana that opted not to. Aetna, you know, being one, they're not involved in it. There's quite a few. Their reasons for not being involved, I don't know.
Well, in Louisiana, as we note, we have a lower lifespan. We have more health issues, largely related to obesity. We smoke more than people do in most other states. So we have some lifestyle issues that are not conducive to good health and long life. So what does that do?
Well, the good news is that under the marketplace, there is no underwriting based on pre-existing conditions. So if you're just smoking away, you can still
But if you're an insurance company, then you've got actuaries saying, you know, you'd be better off doing business in Utah than in Louisiana, then
well,
that does make it.
You used to could rate it up. You could rate the policy. They charge more. Now there's limits as to how much more they can charge.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been involved with something called You and I. That's You and EYE. What is this?
That's a program that was set up by the Optometry Association of Louisiana, and it was basically designed to increase the number of people that get a diabetic eye exam.
And in Louisiana, we have a raging incidence of diabetes.
That's correct. So and one of the biggest maladies associated with that is diabetic blindness. And so what this project was designed, it was a grant out of Washington. It was a grant to increase the number of diabetics that get an annual eye exam through optometry.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would think the governor and other state leaders would be encouraging people to be more healthy, because that could have an impact on the number of options available.
Well, that's part of what this coalition's about as well, and that is to address the drivers of health care costs, and those drivers being your personal responsibility for your own health, the quality of health care that you receive, better consumerism. You know, reading your bill, you know, making sure that the services rendered were the services mm-hmm. that you received.
297-5633. I'll relay a few questions from Inkster Show at WRKF.org. One about how many people are involved in this gap between those who are covered by Medicaid and those who would have been covered under the expansion that has been rejected.
There were some estimates earlier that was 200,000 in the state of Louisiana. Those were some of the early estimates.
How many?
200,000.
I've heard as many as 400,000. So yeah. A lot of people. And when you're trying to determine whether you fall in this range, what kind of proof do you have to offer? Is it kind of scout's honor, or is it do you have to show that you're in the right place?
When you go on to the marketplace, it asks for your income last year. What did you make in 2012, or what do you estimate your income will be for 2013? And that would be scout's honor.
So somebody could say they're estimating a lower than anticipated number, and there's really no way to jam them on this, is there?
Unless I'm sure that there's – I haven't gone into the marketplace to purchase because I'm not eligible to purchase, but I'm sure somewhere in there it says that everything you said here is true, in fact, and – subject to perjury if you didn't.
But an estimate. You know, people don't know if they're going to lose their job or if they're going to be losing hours.
I would say best faith estimate is probably very good.
And there are those who are fanning the flames and saying that businesses will cut a lot of people to part-time as a result of the obligations under Obamacare.
Yeah, they've been a lot of talk about that. And I'm sure there's somebody out there that has done that, but think of what that does for your morale. I mean, as a business owner, you have to keep the people that are working with you, you know, you have to keep your morale up. And all of a sudden you say, look, I'm going to cut you to part-time so that I don't have to pay for your insurance.
Right. It could affect morale and productivity and profitability. So that's something that has to be weighed. And my guess is that there won't be as much of this as some people, particularly on the right, say there will. 297-5633 is your number. Now, for those who are offering health insurance and you're a small company, the changes should be negligible, right? If you're already offering it.
If you're already offering it, your insurance agent, whoever you purchased it from, will tell you if it's grandfathered in or not. If it's grandfathered in, then you don't have to fool with this. It doesn't mean anything to you.
Back with Doug in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, 297-5633. A few more minutes with Doug Wilkinson, and then we'll hear from Valerie Plame. Here's one from Carly saying, when I check to compare my current Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas policy with an equivalent exchange policy, the rates were much higher on the exchange. For example, I'm a single, healthy 61-year-old woman with a $5,000 deductible for which I pay $230 a month. An equivalent exchange policy would cost $460. Why the huge difference in costs?
Well, as Mike Wrights explained when he was on your show last week, they've taken the older people and they've taken the younger people and put them in the same pool, whereas before you were able to create pools of people based on their like age, and so consequently what ends up happening is the older people are going to be paying a higher price as long with the younger people, but the bottom line is that the rates have gone up because there is no underwriting for pre-existing condition.
All right, Kat in St. Martin Parish. Please be brief, Kat. You're on with Doug Wilkinson.
I live in St. Martin Parish, and there's a high incidence of lung cancer and other cancers. And it's not necessarily not necessarily only in smokers, because we have a lot of burning here. Cane season is one, and other burnings.
All right. Well, environmental conditions are certainly another factor about health, and Louisiana has some challenges there as well. Thank you, Kat. CJ on I-10. CJ, you're on the air. Good morning.
What about the deductibles on these policies? Do they all have deductibles or just some?
Well, that's going to be based on the policy that you pick. Yes, I mean, they'll have copays. They will have deductibles. If it's through your employer, you know, they're going to pick and choose the deductible that works best for them. As far as the policies themselves, depending on whether you go bronze, silver, gold, they're going to show different deductibles. So, yes, they'll have deductibles.
Here's a question. Go ahead, sir.
What is a bronze deductible, silver deductible, and gold deductible?
Oh, what are those deductibles? I do not know that. They're going to be different based on the carrier. Each insurance company is going to have their own policy, and that will tell them, that will tell you whether, you know, what the deductible is for that particular metal realm.
Christina writes, when shopping on the exchanges, are rates based solely on income, or do monthly bills such as student loans factor in? For example, I make a decent salary, but my student loans are $1,000 a month. If my rate is based on my salary without factoring in monthly bills, likely I won't be able to afford it.
Everything's based on your gross income.
Gross income. So gross student income. Loans, your expenses are
it has nothing
irrelevant
to do with,
when it comes
your income
to,
is going to tell. And actually, with the rate you pay, it's not even based on your income. That's how much subsidy you receive.
And for those who have additional questions after Doug leaves us in a few minutes, so once again, you can go to lhec.net, or you can even go to the WRKF website at wrkf.org, and there are some nuggets of information provided under answering some of your questions about Louisiana's health insurance marketplace. Doug Wilkinson, any parting thoughts?
We wanted to make sure that when you go on to the exchange and to the marketplace and purchase your policy, make sure that your doctor and your hospital are in the plan that you choose. They're not, you know, the networks are different. That's the first thing. Second thing is make sure that your drugs are covered. That the formulary in that particular plan matches up what you're currently taking.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you,
Appreciate
Jim.
It. And now we're joined by perhaps the best-known CIA agent of all time, Valerie Plame. Good morning, Valerie.
Good morning.
Nice to talk with you. And you've had an incredible life, and that continues with a remarkable novel. And perhaps coincidentally, the main character is named Vanessa Pearson, VP.
That's right.
Are there some similarities between Vanessa and
Valerie? There might be. It's definitely informed by my experiences in the CIA. Of course, it's fictionalized. I don't want to jeopardize any classified information. But very much from the reality of the tradecraft, how you communicate with agents clandestinely and go in and out of countries and all that sort of thing, to the locations where I've either worked or visited, played, and Vanessa Pearson herself.
Now, what led a person like you, beautiful, intelligent, well-educated, what led you to go to the CIA?
Well, maybe this sounds a little corny, but I come from a family where public service was considered to be something worthwhile. My father fought in World War II. He was an Air Force guy, Air Force officer, and my brother served and was wounded in Vietnam, and my mother was a public school teacher. So when I got this opportunity to join the CIA and do something that sounded really fascinating, and the government was going to pay me to live overseas, I thought that was just great. And I missed my career. I loved it.
Well, you can certainly identify with the protagonist in Blowback. Vanessa is a person who shares your initials. She looks like you. She comes from a similar background, and she works in non-proliferation.
That's right. Her emphasis, like mine was in the CIA, is on nuclear proliferation, and the central premise is she's going after sort of an AQ con-like character, an amoral person who sells nuclear technology to anybody who has the money. In particular, in blowback, she's looking at a secret Iranian nuclear facility, and of course, that's happening in the news right now.
Mm-hmm. We're visiting with Valerie Plame. Her career as an undercover CIA agent was ended when her cover was exposed by several members of the Bush administration, and she has written in a way about her knowledge of the CIA in her latest work. The book is Blowback, and the main character is Vanessa Pearson. What about our perceptions, Valerie, of female CIA undercover agents? I imagine we have some perceptions that perhaps may not square with reality.
I think that would be true. I do a lot of eye-rolling because when you see, in popular culture, the females tend to be betrayed. Heavy reliance on sex, heavy reliance on guns, both of which are great, but it doesn't really square with reality. And I can't tell you the number of people that have asked me if, I needed to have sex with people to get intelligence. No, we don't do that. No, that doesn't work. And it's really much more of a team effort than what we tend to see in popular culture.
Well, people refer to you as a desk jockey. That's certainly not accurate.
That's correct. Yeah. Oh, there's when my cover was betrayed by senior officials in the Bush administration a decade ago, 2003, the misogyny was quite astonishing. I was called a glorified secretary and accused of nepotism, that somehow I sent my husband on this mission to Niger, that I wasn't really covert, and on and on. And it was really all a narrative put out for a particular partisan agenda.
You were out on the street, so I imagine there's some action, but there's some days that are as mundane as being at a desk, right?
That's true. I mean, there's a lot of waiting around, honestly, because you set things in motion and then you need to wait in a park or in a restaurant. And then when you're at CIA headquarters, that is what it is. You're putting together all the bits and pieces, the mosaic, to try to create a more accurate picture of your operation.
Now, you get into this in Blowback with Vanessa, but can you really study someone's facial features and analyze what's going on inside?
This is a big generalization, but I think women are better at reading a lot of nonverbal clues. And if you're tuned into that and you have a genuine curiosity about people, you can learn a lot just by observing.
As far as your experience, it didn't end well, and of course it was not of your doing, but did that give you pause about the U.S. government?
No. In fact, when I speak at universities on various topics, national security or proliferation or whatever, I always urge young people to at least consider a career in public service. It doesn't have to be the CIA, but it's we have some real challenges facing us, and it's important that the best and the brightest at least consider going into public service of some sort. And looking at the government shutdown, you just want to put your head on desk. But overall, I believe deeply in this country, and as Winston Churchill famously said, democracy is the absolute worst form of government, except for all the others that have been tried.
Hmm. Do you think justice was served in your case, Valerie?
No. I think that is a fair answer. No. What happened, the Vice President's Cheney's chief of staff, Scooter Libby, was convicted on 4 out of 5 counts, but his prison sentence was commuted. And, I'm pretty sure he didn't write the fine out of his own checkbook. And there were others, of course, involved that were ultimately not prosecuted.
Well, as we know, Vice President Cheney was livid that President Bush didn't give a complete pardon to Scooter Libby.
Yes, he was. He compared leaving Libby behind as though leaving a soldier on the battlefield. And having had a brother that was wounded in real life in Vietnam, I find that particular analogy to be strikingly offensive.
How did this episode affect your husband, Ambassador Wilson? I imagine he was not pleased, and to say the least.
Yeah, you don't know my husband. we moved from Washington, D.C., with our children to New Mexico in 2007, and we worked really hard at rebuilding our personal lives and our professional lives, and we have found our equilibrium far, far away from Washington.
Well, I suspect that we're going to hear more and read more about Vanessa Pearson. This could be the start of a series.
Oh, I hope so. We're my co-author, Sarah Lovett, and I are hard at work on the second one, actually. When I finish getting this one out, go back to work on that. And I honestly think it's going to be even better.
Do you like writing?
I do. You know, I've only written intel reports up to this point, or Fair Game, which was a memoir, which is a different thing altogether. But Sarah really understands the craft of writing, and I bring a lot of my experience to it. So it's been a really enjoyable process.
Would you encourage someone to go into the CIA if they're a young person?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. How many countries did you visit? Can you reveal that?
Dozens, I guess. I mean, I never counted them up. A bunch.
Yeah.
Sometimes very briefly. But I had derived a great sense of satisfaction out of working on these proliferation issues, which continue to be at the very top of our national security concerns. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever feel like your life was in danger, either before or after being outed?
After being outed, my primary concern of being public about it all was at the time our twins were 3 years old, and there was a credible Al-Qaeda threat against me. But as a parent, of course, all you care about is your children's security and safety.
Well, you've done a great job in conducting yourself with grace. I imagine it was tough at times.
It's been a long journey, that's for sure. Thank you. You're very kind.
Well, we can commend you for your life and your new life as a writer. Valerie Plame with Sarah Lovett. The book is Blowback. Thank you, Valerie, for spending time with us today.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
My pleasure. And today is October 3rd, 2013. It was 62 years ago today that perhaps the most famous home run in baseball grand history took place at the Polo Grounds. Playoff game as the Dodgers and Giants were playing for the National League pennant. Dodgers were leading 4-2, ninth inning, bottom of the ninth. The Dodgers had blown a 13.5 game lead over the Giants in the regular season. And Bobby Thompson, the Staten Island Scot, stepped to the plate, and Russ Hodges made the call. Here's how it sounded 62 years ago today. October 3rd, 1951, 7 years later, the Giants and the Dodgers would move to California. Russ Hodges remained the voice of the Giants for a while in San Francisco. My friend Ernest Gaines used to listen to him in San Francisco when they were playing at Candlestick Park, Seal Stadium before that. And now, of course, they're playing in a new park where Barry Bonds became the all-time Major League home run leader for a career and for a season. But the most famous home run in Giants history and perhaps in Major League history occurred on this date 62 years ago today. Bobby Thompson. And we had Ralph Branca, who's still alive, who served up the home run pitch on that day. On this show, on the 60th anniversary, he said the Giants were stealing signals. He's still upset about this all these years later. One of the men on base was Alvin Dark, the pride of LSU, born January 7th, 1922. I think Alvin's still alive. He's 91 years old, be 92 soon. That's it for today. We thank you for joining us. For Kevin Gallagher, I'm Jim Engster. See you tomorrow and stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.